هديل 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 is 9. هديل was 9. Officials said, Israeli officials said they regret her death. But terrorism must stop, rockets must stop, resistance must stop, or they will continue to shell Gaza until we surrender the bit of dignity we have left. Until we elect who they want, sign what they want, and die in silence the way they want. They smile and regret death as a casual accident and regret how Palestinian children die in a collective torture chamber, Gaza. Israeli security is absolute, written with blood and bulldozers and the art of women spokespersons. Because death is softer coming from a woman. Death is more polite coming from a woman. And who will tell Hadil's mother, busy baking bread and za'atar, that doves will not fly over Gaza again? Doves will not fly over Gaza again. God died at her feet. Hadil is gone, and her brother Ahmed lost his sight. Hadil, every prayer I remember and half remember won't bring you back. Every prayer I remember and half remember won't bring you back. As you wrap yourself in stories of Palestine, gather the other children to cry a while, waiting restless for the next soldier to knock down your door. But the Gaza sky still rains US-made shells to cast us out of a history we carry on our backs. Hadil, who will tell Hadil that we went out for coffee and carried on the day she died? Nothing stopped, not a pause, not a tear. Next meeting, next cigarette, next train, check email and sigh over another Palestinian gone. Is this worth a press release? Maybe not. Solidarity from afar, like a sick joke, a bad story to tell a child. But the doves will not fly over Gaza again. The doves will not fly over Gaza again. Hadil is gone forever. Gone. No final words, just a void in her mother's heart. Just a void in her mother's heart. And they say, don't cry for martyrs, don't cry for martyrs. Carry on the fight, carry on the fight, carry on the fight. But for Hadil, give me a moment of silence. Give me a moment of silence. No, give me a moment of sincere resistance. Sincere resistance. So we can hold on to the bit of dignity we have left. So we can hold on to the bit of dignity we have left for Hadil.
I'm here in Toronto with Rafif Ziada, who is a Palestinian activist, organizer, and also a spoken word artist. Rafif, you've just put out a new CD called Hadil. What can you tell us about this CD?
This CD has been in the works for a really long time. It's really the compilation of my poems that I've been writing over the past 5 years. The name Hadil itself means the cooing of doves. I've been collecting stories of Palestinian girls for quite some time, and every time there's a story, I write a poem about it. Hadil was a girl who died in Gaza with a bombing. Her brother Ahmed lost his sight. And I chose to name the CD after her because of the war on Gaza, because I think despite of everything, people in Gaza still hear the doves. And because to me, that's the most inspiring stories that come out of Palestine are about people, how they still survive, and how despite everything, we continue to say we're Palestinian. When we're outside, we say we want to return. So I just wanted a simple title, a name of a Palestinian girl.
I guess we'll come back to like some of the more like lyrical, poetic content later. But the CD is interesting because it's also got a kind of a musical component to that. Can you tell me how you kind of came up with the musical concept of this?
I was really lucky to work with brilliant musicians who I really love. The CD was produced by Rose of Lal. And the process of actually putting the music together was really wonderful and collaborative. We all would go into the studio together. The musicians would hear the poem and would just come up with something on how they felt about it. And we would slowly start working on it and layering over it. one by one and seeing what works and what didn't work. I actually enjoyed the process of making it and putting the music together most about the making of the CD, because the musicians were all very professional, very wonderful, and they just got the poems. I was very hesitant earlier on to put music to my poetry, because I find with a lot of spoken word, what happens is people just download a beat and have that beat running and say the words over it, and then there's no relationship between the two. So I wanted the music to really fit into what I was saying. I also wanted it to have a very Arab vibe, because I use very Arab words. So there was a lot of oud on the CD, and different types of instruments. We also had violin, and I was lucky in that Rina, the woman who played the violin, is she's trained in like doing Yiddish songs. So there was a bit of that on the CD. It ended up being a wonderful mix. Ian, who does the bass, is like, you know, in my soul musically. He just got the poems, and the minute I got them, he'd hear them. He would be able to tell me exactly what type of music goes with it. And working together really makes a difference. Like, you're actually building something together instead of someone hearing it separately and making music and sending it over. Mm-hmm.
And of course, you mentioned that the CD was produced by Rose, is the singer from Lal. We're a celebrated band here in Toronto. Of course, a band that's doing something, I guess, musically and conceptually a little bit different than what you're doing. So, you know, what was that like working with some of the musicians from Lal in terms of bringing them in on this project?
That's what I love about Rose and why it worked so well doing it together. Is she really encouraged me every step of the way, to begin with, to actually write the grant that I got from the Ontario Arts Council to make the CD. She was with me with that process, but she also really gave me the artistic freedom to just do what I wanted. She was like, this is your baby, it's your project, you tell us how you want it done. And I trusted them a lot. Like, the musicians, as I was saying, were all really wonderful, and they didn't push anything on me, which made the process really beautiful. It's a different style of working on something, which I really liked.
You tell an anecdote sometimes when you're performing your poetry about the story that motivated you to start writing poetry. Can you share that with us?
Sure. So there's a poem now that's my anthem, and it's the first poem on my CD. It's called Shades of Anger. We were at York University doing a creative action where we created a checkpoint, and Palestinians passing through the checkpoint and Israeli soldiers. I refused to be one of the Israeli soldiers. I was one of the citizens lying on the floor being Palestinian, and a Zionist came by. The demonstrations at York are always heated, and as I was lying on the floor, he kicked me right in the gut really hard and said, you deserve to be raped before you have your terrorist children. And that really stuck with me, because it was a level of hatred, not that I hadn't seen, like, we've seen everything possible from Israelis, I think, but for somebody to be walking on the middle of a campus and be able to say that was really disgusting. And the only way I could deal with it was to write back my poem. And the poem is just, I may be angry, but what I'm going to produce is your next rebel, and you won't be able to stop us.
اسمحوا لي أن أتكلم بلساني العربي قبل أن يحتلوا لغتي أيضا. Allow me to speak my Arab tongue before they occupy my language as well. Allow me to speak my mother tongue before they colonize her memory as well. I am an Arab woman of color, and we come in all shades of anger. All my grandfather ever wanted to do was wake up at dawn and watch my grandmother kneel and pray in a village hidden between Yaffa and Haifa. My mother was born under an olive tree on a soil they say is no longer mine, but I will cross their barriers, their checkpoints, their damn apartheid walls, and return to my homeland. I am an Arab woman of color, and we come in all shades of anger. And did you hear my sister screaming yesterday as she gave birth at a checkpoint, with Israeli soldiers looking between her legs for their next demographic threat, called her baby girl Janine? And did you hear Amne Mona screaming behind their prison bars, we are returning to Palestine? I am an Arab woman of color, and we come in all shades of anger. But you tell me this womb inside of me will only bring you your next terrorist, beard wearing, gun waving, towel head, sand nigger. You tell me I send my children out to die, but those are your copters, your F-16s, in our sky.
So on the CD you have pieces like Hadil, which is about a girl in Gaza, but obviously, you know, stories that are from the diaspora too, not just touching directly on Palestine. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it's a lot of them are very personal, but not directly about me. I've grown up non-status for the majority of my life. Still don't actually have my documents. So a lot of them are about immigration officers, the humiliation of airports, deportation. It's about, I know you know the person, somebody from Montreal called Ahmed who was deported, picked up in a Montreal subway. So there's a poem called Montreal Subway about his deportation and the feeling of helplessness when they just pick up someone and put them in a cell and the next thing you won't be able to see them again. I mean, Palestinians, we're really disconnected from each other more than anything. We're disconnected from our land, but also from each other. So that sense that you could lose things so easily. Also a lot about Palestinian women and mentally what it means to survive all of the brutality that we see day to day, and how a lot of psychologists and doctors say, well, deal with it, just take pills and move on with your life and everything will be okay, but that those things stay with you and it's not just a question of forgetting and surviving every day, but actually resisting that makes us who we are. So it's a mix of really my life story, my family story, and a lot of Palestinians around me. A lot also that I've learned from coming to North America about indigenous struggles and the similarities between indigenous struggles, the theft of land that makes people rootless and homeless on their own land is something that spoke to me a lot as a Palestinian, so I saw a lot of connections there. Musically, I tried to use a lot of indigenous instruments as well to make that connection.
Tonight in a Montreal subway, they picked up Ahmed. Tonight in a Montreal subway, they picked up Ahmed. Tonight in a Montreal subway, they picked up Ahmed. Guilty of being here when there is no there for him to go to. He's guilty of being here when there is no there for him to go to. Refugee camps are not our homes. Refugee camps are not our homes. Tired of the limbo, waiting for 61 years for another deportation order and another detention cell. Tonight in a Montreal subway, they picked up Ahmed. Tonight in a Montreal subway, they picked up Ahmed. Where is Mahmoud Darwish tonight? Wake him up. Ask him to write a poem about Ahmed al-Arabi, Ahmed al-Za'atar, Ahmed Janine, Ahmed Ain al-Hilwe. Let these words fill every immigration office with anger. You don't want us here and they don't want us there, and there is occupied by them and them won't let us return. And you don't want us here and they don't want us there, and there is occupied by them and them won't let us return. Don't send him anywhere but Palestine if you dare. And I see them, I see them confused, I see them wondering, why are these Arabs so angry? Don't they get it? Don't they get it? We talk about food here and we talk about multiculturalism here, and they have such fine hummus and baba ghanoush. Let the falafel go, it's Israeli now. So confused, they ask us to give up. They ask us to give up and collectively lift our heads towards the F-16s, raise peace signs and sing. Imagine all the people. Imagine all the people in deportation cells tonight. Where the hell are the people? Where are the people when hundreds of Ahmeds beat at the bars of open-air prisons? Beat at the bars of open-air prisons. A rhythm for all of you to hear. They beat at the bars of open-air prisons, refugee camps and detention cells. And if you don't want us here and they don't want us there, and there is occupied by them, where are we supposed to be returned to? Tonight, tonight in a Montreal subway, they picked up Ahmed. Tonight in a Montreal subway, they picked up Ahmed. Were you sleeping? Were you sleeping? Were you sleeping? Because tonight in a Montreal subway, they picked up Ahmed. And I have lost Ahmed to another deportation order in another detention cell. Tonight in a Montreal subway, they took my Ahmed.
You have a line in one of your pieces about a dream catcher hanging from a car window. Can you, you know, elaborate a little bit on that idea and tell us about that?
I hadn't heard the Canadian anthem until a while after being in Canada. And I found it kind of funny when it says our home and native land. I find settler colonies try really hard to say, you know, this is our land constantly whenever they get a chance. So the poem is about the Canadian national anthem, but one line is also that dream catcher in your Cherokee Jeep ain't making things better. And it's that you cannot hide colonialism by taking the elements of another culture that you've destroyed when people of that culture are still living 2 hours away without clean drinking water and say, you know, but we love them and this is multicultural and we respect the indigenous so much in this country. So it's just making fun of the whole concept of multiculturalism in Canada and what it means for native peoples.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess with the spoken word genre, there's been a strong tradition going back decades of artists using, you know, spoken word to convey deep political meanings. And of course, in the Palestinian context, to generations of Palestinian poets who use poetry kind of for the same means. I'm wondering if you could talk a little about some of your artistic influences and how they've played out with this project.
They're very mixed. Very much like my experience of being Palestinian in the diaspora, being deported into so many places, the influences are so many, certainly by Arab literature. Certainly no Palestinian can ever say they were not influenced by Mahmoud Darwish. His poetry is the most beautiful stuff I've ever heard or will ever hear in my life. Coming to North America, though, I was very influenced by spoken word in New York. Which has a much more hip-hop and rhythmic style. Coming to Toronto, there's a very strong Caribbean scene where dub poetry is much more prevalent and dub poetry is much more about storytelling. So I wanted to mix all of these things with an Arab feel to it as well. I mean, in Arabic poetry, there's a lot more metaphor. So I wanted to be able to mix all that together, and what came out, I hope, is something unique that blends a lot of things that I've been through.
Over the last couple of years, what we've seen is an increasing movement of artists and cultural producers who are standing up and kind of taking part in this global campaign of boycott, divestment, and sanctions. Of course, there was the statement at the Toronto International Film Festival. I'm wondering if you could just, you know, reflect a little bit on it yourself as a BDS activist and someone who's also a cultural producer. You know, what you see the role could be of artists now who are actively engaging in the Palestine struggle.
Well, I think there are two sides to BDS. One side is boycotting Israeli cultural state institutions, but the other side is also supporting Palestinian culture, because the entire concept of Israeli apartheid is about saying Palestinians don't exist, that we were never there as a people. So when we produce culture, we're essentially reclaiming our existence as a people. And we're, you know, when Golda Meir was talking about Palestinians, she said, give them one or two, three generations and they'll forget. So when we're producing Palestinian culture, we're defeating her every day with what we produce. And the other side of this is that there is de facto a boycott of Palestinian artists. And that's what people don't talk about often. Often when we say boycott Israeli institutions, people jump up at us and say, but it's culture and how can we boycott culture? And here's where you really see the racism. It's because nobody really ever objects to the de facto boycott of Palestinian culture. Israel goes into the West Bank, destroys Palestinian cultural institutions. Palestinian artists cannot move in the West Bank. All of the things that apply to the Palestinian population apply to them, of course. In places like Canada, when I tried to perform in high schools, for example, I was banned. So we are boycotted, whether in Palestine or outside, especially when we're talking about political messages. I'm sure if I was belly dancing, I wouldn't have as hard enough a time. I mean, maybe if what I was wearing was the colors of the Palestinian flag, I might have a hard time. But it has to do with the political content of what you're doing. And so that boycott of Palestinians has to be broken as well. And the way to break that is to encourage Palestinian artists, to invite Palestinian artists to events, and to integrate culture and Palestinian culture into all the political work we do. There's an unhealthy split between like doing political events and cultural events, and I don't think that split needs to exist. Because what you could tell people about Palestine through a poem, it would take 30, 40 political speeches to be able to do. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other hand, artists need to be able to support the BDS campaign, sign on to the BDS campaign, and be ambassadors for the BDS campaign internationally.
I guess, finally, the last question is, with this project, with the CD that you have now, what are your plans or what are your hopes for this work you're doing?
I'm mostly interested in people hearing it, and that's why I've put it all online on my website, because I really want people to hear the words. I'm selling it online and all that fun stuff as well. I'll be going to Montreal sometime in March, and I'll start touring and performing here and there. I'm also hoping for it to be a resource for different Palestinian solidarity organizations as an outreach tool and an educational tool that can be used by different organizations. Most of all, I just kind of wanted to create it and put it out there in the world. I'd been performing for 5 years now at different events and hadn't really compiled it or recorded it anywhere, mostly because I was afraid. But now it's out there in the world and people can hear it whenever they want.
And that website is?
RafifZiada.ca.
So we've been speaking with Rafif Ziada on her new spoken word CD, Hadil, that you can get from her website. Thank you so much, Rafif.
Thank you, Aaron.
This call is not written for you. This call is not written for you. It's for the sun and the moon. This call is not written for you. It's for the sun and the moon. For the earth brown like us. For the earth brown like us. For the rivers, waters that know, that saw what you did. For the rivers, the waters that know, that saw what you did. This call is not written for you. It's for the sun and moon. For the earth brown like us. For the rivers, waters that know, that saw what you did. Trail of tears. Trail of tears from Baghdad to Tyandinega, trail of tears. We're still walking a trail of tears from Palestine to Six Nations. We're still walking a trail of tears. We're still walking a trail of tears. Their gods promised them our lands, trail of tears. Bury their fears in our skin, trail of tears. Uprooting our olive groves, stealing our lands, trail of tears. Bury their dead in our skin and build golf courts on our corpses, trail of tears. Call death machines Apaches. They dare to call death machines Apaches and their cars Cherokee. And their cars Cherokee. Glaring like the sun, glaring like the sun, our signs, we were here before you. Glaring like the sun, our signs, we were here before you. Trail of tears. Trail of tears. This land knows us before you. This sun knows us before you. This land knows us before you. And this sun knows us before you. This moon knows us before you. Our mother here knows us before you. Our mother here knows us before you. And ancestors guide us. Ancestors guide us not to become you.